We're talking this hour about what happens after life. And one way the dead live on is in tangible memorials, gravestones, photo albums, commemorative celebrations, and even Facebook, which turns out to be the one place where it's actually kind of hard to die. Religious scholar Candy Can studies our virtual afterlives. She told Steve Paulson that social media is transforming death.
So right now, it's currently estimated that there are 1 million dead Facebook users. In other words, they are people that started a Facebook page and then died. And the family and the friends can go online, write messages to the deceased, talk to the deceased, post pictures on the deceased's webpage.
It almost sounds like you're saying they do this as if the deceased is still living.
Yes, exactly. It's very interesting because I think the language that people utilize on social network memorials is very similar to the language that we would hear at the gravestone, as though there is an audience and the audience is the deceased person.
Now, one of the things that I find interesting is that there are memorial sites for celebrities or victims of tragic events. For instance, one of the victims of the Boston Marathon bombings had her Facebook memorial page flooded by comments, hundreds of thousands of comments just days after the event. I mean, mostly from people who never knew this person.
Yes, after Crystal Campbell was killed in the Boston Marathon bombing, a page was set up in her memory. And people who knew her posted pictures, but there were thousands, hundreds of thousands of messages written to her, written to her family. And it was also, the language was very much present tense, second person, kind of I and you. It wasn't talking about her like an obituary would place a person into the past. So this is one of the big differences that I think that has emerged with social media. It views, on some level, the deceased as continuing to live and continuing to be the recipient of these messages.
Which seems kind of odd, doesn't it?
Yes, I find it very different. But I actually think that people have talked to the deceased for as long as we can remember. It's just that we never before listened in. And that's what social network memorials have allowed us to do. We can partake in this conversation. So I think that it's not the conversation that's different. It's the fact that it's now public that's different.
Well, you tell a story about one woman who actually got kind of irritated when after her husband died, and a lot of his friends were posting all of these condolences to him, not to her. And she felt like, well, you know, she was the one who was grieving the most, and, you know, shouldn't they be addressing her?
Right. And she said that people weren't sending her letters. Rather, they were all communing together on her husband's Facebook page. And that was bothersome to her because she, and rightly so, wanted to be the center of the attention during the mourning period because her loss, she felt, was the greatest. You know, she was the one who woke up every day and felt his absence first and went to sleep at night and didn't have him to turn to.
Well, and then there's the larger question of, okay, someone has had a Facebook page, that person has died. I would think it's not at all uncommon that some people would say, you know, I don't want that Facebook profile to keep on.
Right. And Facebook actually has a process through which you can memorialize a page. So you can contact their department and have it shut down. And basically, it just becomes frozen in time. If you don't do that, then you may get requests to play a game or to interact with your deceased friend's friends. And what they call those is the internet ghost or the Facebook ghost. That can be a really strange and unsettling kind of encounter. My grandfather regularly interacts with me on Facebook, and he died several years ago. But I get requests to play games with him, and it's a little bit unsettling when I get those requests.
What kinds of requests do you get?
For example, if you like a particular page, let's say you like Target, Facebook can then send out requests to your friends. Steve likes Target. Do you want to like Target too? But your response will be, well, Steve's no longer with us. And so I'm not sure why Steve's inviting me to like this page. So it can be a little bit unsettling in that respect.
Yeah. So are we seeing new kinds of rituals or customs that are involved in observing death on the internet or through social media?
Well, I think we are. So there are several different things. You know, one of them is the move towards visual rhetoric. pictures either of the deceased with the griever, which symbolizes that person's right to grieve, or of the deceased in their casket with the griever. And that's the whole issue on funeral selfies that a lot of people have had problems with lately.
So this is kind of strange, I have to say. I mean, there's a body in a casket and the person at the funeral service there is taking a selfie of the two of them together.
Yeah, I think it is strange, but it's actually not out of context because ever since the emergence of photography 150 years ago, death photography has been very popular. So before, the family, let's say their child died, they would take a picture of their child as a family portrait, and then they would bury the child. But, you know, they weren't posting that photograph on Twitter or posting it on Facebook. And what's so upsetting about the funeral selfies, I think, for most people, is the interruption of death. You're at work and you're checking your Facebook. You're at home on a Sunday afternoon checking your Facebook on your phone while your son plays ball in the yard. And then all of a sudden you encounter this dead body. And I think that's what's disturbing, the fact that death interrupts us.
Well, one of the things you write about is that some of these things we've been talking about, these kinds of virtual memorials, go way back. I mean, yes, the technology is new, but the idea is often not new. I mean, in terms of how people have grieved in the United States.
Right. You know, these funeral selfies are kind of a replication of the armband or the mourning clothing. They're just a desire to be recognized as someone who's grieving, because now at work we only have maybe, if we're lucky, 3 to 5 days off from work. And that's not enough time to get the funeral put in place and the estate put in order. So, yeah, I do think that these new things, they may be new technologies, but I think they're actually just a resurfacing of old forms of grieving.
Candy Can is a religion professor at Baylor University. She talked with Steve Paulson about her book, Virtual Afterlives.